Dr. Vern Cherowatenko is a family practice physician in Renton, Washington. Over the years, he became frustrated with the trends in medical care, which made both physician and patient subservient to rules set down by insurance companies. As a response, he's designed and organized a viable alternative for doctors and patients to take back control over most aspects of healthcare and to recover a wider range of choice while getting more value from the financial exchange involved. I spoke to him about this and about some important facts concerning the economics of basic health maintenance and questions about modalities of treatment which are kept obscure by the pharmaceutical industry. I'm talking today with Dr. Vern Cherowatenko and with his associate Lori Swantz. Dr. Cherowatenko is that rare breed of doctor who's both a doctor and an educator and a businessman and someone who thinks in terms of how does this all fit into the larger picture of life and sees it from the patient's side, at least as much as from the doctor's side. So we're going to be talking about some general ideas concerning medicine today and medicine as it would concern you as an individual, and then also about some cutting-edge research that's being done, just to give you an idea of the changing scene that we're all living in at the beginning of this new millennium. Let's start by just getting a little background on how you got from the basic educational experience of a doctor to the kind of work you're doing today.
I was trained in the traditional medical system. In fact, I was trained at the number one university in our country called the University of Washington. Went to medical school there and did my residency at a University of Washington affiliated program in family practice. So I had the best traditional training I could possibly get. And we had about 8 hours of nutrition during that 4 years of school, or I would say 7 years of school. Basically learned what a fat, a protein, and a carbohydrate was, and that was about it. As I've gone into my career a little bit longer, I've learned that there's a little bit more to this nutritional area of medicine, and actually what we now term as functional medicine, but it's all happened after medical school. And medical school for most of the doctors in the country is really a name and blame type of learning where they teach diagnoses and they teach treatments, many of which are pharmaceutical treatments. And we'll be able to explore some of the newer ways that we are treating things that seem to be much more healthy for people.
What were some of the kinds of experiences that you had as a young doctor starting out which made you look further than your training?
Well, I think it was when I learned that the fourth to seventh leading cause of death is prescription medication, that I started wondering what we were doing with writing all of these prescriptions. And I started really entertaining more of what some of the colleagues around me that were non-MDs were talking about, because it seemed that they were doing a better job at really curing their patients or getting them to feel better. So many of the things in medicine, again, as I said, are to diagnose and then treat with a prescription. They don't really take the next step to find out what the cause of the problem is and then maybe enhance that or change that. In American medicine, we're the best in the world at getting acute care taken care of. If you have a heart attack or a brain tumor or a gunshot, there's no place better than America to get treated. But we're one of the worst in treating chronic diseases like obesity and diabetes. Many of those chronic illnesses we fail at in a miserable way. And that's what we've been able to do, is really take some of these chronic diseases and start actually getting people back healthier than they've been before they ever had the disease in the first place.
In the current medical scene, we have a lot of old systems which are non-Western, which are beginning to get more attention and more application, as well as alternative medicine from the European tradition. These things are coming in more and more to the orthodox medical scene. What's your observation about how that process has happened and what's the effect on the medical community in general?
Well, I think we're at a fork in the road where there's physicians like myself, an MD physician that embraces it. I love it. And the more I learn about it, the more I go away from my traditional training. Again, the traditional training is more from becoming sick to not sick. If you have green gunk coming out of your nose and you're hacking and you're coughing, we'll treat you with some antibiotics or something and get you not sick. But we don't take you from not sick to well and from well to really well. When I started studying that from the people that are kind of the leaders on the planet in this area, the stuff makes so much sense. And it's not voodoo medicine. It's really biochemistry. It's stuff that we learned at the very first stages of medical school and then promptly forgot and didn't know really how to apply it when you were in the middle of gross anatomy lab and physiology and biochemistry, how to really apply that knowledge to an individual that might be coming in your office. So it's come full circle that most of the information that I think MDs like myself are embracing is grounded in science. It's much different than the original training that we got. However, the flip side of that, the other fork in the road, are the MDs that really, I think, have their heads in the sand. They're very unwilling to even embrace or understand or even become educated in this area of alternative medicine or complementary medicine or natural medicine, or the term I like the most called functional medicine. They choose to just arbitrarily, what I call the MDity syndrome, acknowledge that these therapies are not worthy of their attention and they really are not grounded in science and they have no scientific background. One of the things we'll talk about later on is a particular substance called DHEA. And I've had doctors tell me specifically that there's no studies on this product or this hormone called DHEA, where there's about 4,000 studies done on this worldwide. And many of those are on the National Institutes of Health website. So all of a sudden, these doctors that are sticking their heads in the sand or not really embracing scientific information like I would think they should are finding themselves lying to their patients with their biases and their opinions that are not really factual at all. And the patients is what we're really talking about here. It's the patients that are demanding this. I'm a board-certified family physician, and for every patient that I see, two of those patients are going to alternative medicine doctors instead of a traditional trained family practice doctor. So the consumer is understanding that there's a whole nother area of healing out there that I think is much less traditional and much more functional. And I think that's when it's going to survive, especially if we change the operating system of how all of this stuff gets paid for.
What about the general medical scene, the awareness that the psychological state of the patient has a great deal to do with their ability to recover, whether or not pharmaceutical agents or drugs are used? What's been your observation in that area as far as medicine in general?
Well, we're in the middle of teaching some things right now based on a phrase that's biology drives behavior. And before I got into medical school, my undergraduate degree is in psychology, and I have a master's in counseling. So to me personally, the whole behavioral area of medicine is extremely important in how people function. The mind, body, spirit is completely entrenched in my belief system and training, and I've been able to see it work far better than just traditional prescription medication. And I'm not against prescription medication used at the right place at the right time. This isn't an anti-drug company statement I'm making, but what it is that many patients need to have that area of their healthcare looked at in addition to everything else. And I think that's miserably failing in American medicine. I don't think that we have done a good job at all in embracing that type of a structure in evaluation of patients. When you look at biology drives behavior, there's several biochemical changes that occur in patients. And when you're able to test that biochemistry or understand the behavior and what biology is associated with that, then we can start to look at changing that. And that's what's really exciting about this area of medicine now. Unfortunately, most of the insurance companies don't pay for this kind of thing. So people are paying for all of this out of pocket after they already have an insurance policy, or they may not even have an insurance policy, and then they're able to pay for this type of medicine. But what we can look at is by changing that biochemistry in people, which again makes a lot of common sense, and that's what we teach because people can understand this. Once we do that, then people are really empowered, and then they can make the choice of what kind of healthcare they really want to derive and see if they can get back up to that maximum health state that we like to try and get people to.